Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful to God for giving me still another opportunity to open His book and to bring to you who are listening in another message in the Gospel. Yes, this is Minor Hawk, your voice of the Gospel speaker, and thanking God for His unspeakable gift. You know, the word Gospel means good news, and it sure is good news to unsaved sinners who are perishing in their sin and who realize their need of a Savior. Unfortunately, most people today don't realize that they need a Savior. They think that their so-called good works, religious rituals, church membership, or moral living are sufficient to gain them entrance into God's heaven. But friend, listen. If it were possible to get to heaven by these virtues and characteristics, then tell me, why did Jesus die? Why did God let His Son die the shameful and ignominious death of Calvary's cross if you and I could reach heaven by our own virtue or self-righteousness? No, the Scriptures are quite clear. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy He saves us." In Isaiah 64 and verse 6 we're told, "All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." And even in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, God says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Friend, there isn't one verse in the entire Bible that says that a person can get to heaven by living a so-called good, clean life. No, the only people who will be in heaven will be those who were obedient to God's word and God's way. You know, in John 10 and verse 9, Jesus Christ says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Again, in John 14 and 6, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Friend, there is absolutely no salvation for your soul apart from faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So please stay tuned and let the Holy Spirit of God through God's Word bring both conviction and conversion to your heart and soul today if you've never been saved and born again. Now let's open the broadcast today with our first hymn, and it's entitled, "Rescue the Perishing."
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more.
Rescue the perishing, duty demanded. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Friends, that's the purpose of this radio program called The Voice of the Gospel. Our desire is to rescue the perishing. And that's the reason I'm here with the Bible in my hand, to tell forth the wonderful story of redeeming love and to present the claims of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee for the grace that brought him down from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank Thee, Lord, for all the value and the virtue Thou hast found in His precious blood, without which there can be no remission. And, Father, we claim Thy promise that Thy word shall not return void. Bless the word about to be read and spoken from today. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of Him whom Thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before opening the Bible today, let's listen to another lovely tune, and it's entitled, Beneath the Cross of Jesus.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way. From the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day, upon the cross of Jesus mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart, with tears to wonders I confess the wonder of His glorious love and my own worthlessness. The cross of Jesus for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of His face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory all the cross.
Now, friends, those of you who care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be using as my text for today two verses that we find in Romans chapter 2. And chapter 3. The first is found in Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. Let me repeat that. Romans 2 and verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. Now in the next chapter, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll repeat that too. Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His word. Well, friends, today I'd like to discuss a very important subject with you. And it's a subject which I'm sure will be repulsive to some and distasteful to many. And that is the fact that as far as God is concerned, there is no respect of persons. No, in the sight of a thrice holy God, regardless of our race, color, or nationality, there is no respect of persons with God. Now, as I said, this scriptural statement of fact does not appeal to most people, simply because in every other facet of our living, we encounter stratification in our social, political, economic, and even our religious associations. Some people are doctors and some people are laborers. Some are governors and some are dog catchers. Some are wealthy and some are poor. Some are preachers and some are atheists. Yes, regardless of where we live or who we may be, we see on every hand a society of classification. And yet in God's eyes, there is no respect of persons. He sees the old and the young. He sees the rich and the poor. He sees the healthy and the sick. Yes, he sees the Catholic, the Protestant, and the Jew, and he then declares in Romans 3 and 22 and 23 that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, friends, God today is not so much concerned about your nationality, your health, or even your wealth, but he is vitally concerned about your spiritual condition in view of eternity. He wants you to become a child of his through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. He wants you to trust in the finished work of God's Son, Jesus Christ himself. Yes, and he wants you to know the joy of sins forgiven and life eternal. And that's the reason he has permitted you to hear this radio program today. Over in 2 Peter 3 and 9, we're told that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why? Because he is long-suffering. He's patient. He's gracious. Friend, as you listen to this voice of the gospel broadcast today, can you honestly say that you're saved? Can you? Now remember, I don't know your heart, but God does. And we can fool one another, but we can't fool God. No, I read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 that all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, friends, one of the hardest facts for some people to grasp is the fact that regardless of our social, economic, and religious heritage, we as individual sinners are all the same in the sight of God. And I might add that a sinner will never become a child of God until they realize what they are and where they are in God's perspective. I read in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart." I was preaching the gospel one day to a large number of convicts in a penitentiary, and before the meeting began, I was sitting in the warden's office talking to a lovely woman who came to the prison every Sunday to conduct a Bible class for the woman inmates. When the woman was asked if she had ever been born again, she immediately began to give her background and her religious heritage. She had been active in her church and local civic organizations. She had been charitable and hardworking all her life. And for the past 20-odd years, she had been coming to the prison every Lord's Day to teach a class of woman inmates. She boasted of the fact that her father and one brother had been ministers. But friend, listen, not once in her entire conversation did she mention conviction of sin and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And on the basis of her own words, she was religiously lost and had never experienced a new birth herself. Yes, she was basing her hopes for heaven on what she was doing and who she was rather than upon what the Lord Jesus Christ had done at the place called Calvary. I wonder if I'm speaking to someone out in Radio Land today, and you too are religiously lost. You too are active in your church and local civic organizations. You too are charitable and hard-working. Perhaps you too teach a Sunday school or sing in the choir. Yes, you too have been baptized, confirmed, or dedicated, but you've never been convicted and converted by the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, I believe I'm speaking to someone today, and you realize down deep in your heart that there's something wrong with your spiritual condition. You know that you don't have real peace with God, and you don't have the joy that belongs alone to those redeemed by the blood of Christ. Friend, let's face it. You're lost. Yes, you're lost. Now, friends, there are many reasons why people are lost today, and they can all be covered by the fact that the devil has blinded their eyes to the truth of God's book. Yes, people are being deluded into believing that they can reach heaven by their own so-called good works. And yet the Bible makes it quite clear that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy that he saves us. Over in Isaiah 64 and 6, we're told, ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses or good works are as filthy rags. Now perhaps someone thinking, well, if the Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith, then why doesn't our preacher or priest tell us these things? Well, friends, in most cases, the reason why your pastor doesn't tell you the truth of God's Word is simply because he doesn't know the truth himself. He's just as blind to the truth of God as is the congregation before which he stands. Yes, and regardless of all his seminary training and all of his so-called sacrifice, if he isn't born again, then he too will suffer the torments of hell. And this only goes to prove, again, the truth of our text, that there is no respect of persons with God. And furthermore, I personally wouldn't want to trade places in eternity with those so-called reverends who haven't preached the blood of Jesus Christ. Sure, they command and demand respect here on earth because of their fancy titles and their superficial piety. But listen, friend, when they stand before God at a great white throne judgment, they'll quiver and quake, and they'll realize then how foolish they were. But it'll be too late then. The day of God's grace will have ceased to exist. And so there they stand, the small and the great, and then they're cast into the lake of fire. Friend, listen. Regardless of your standing in the sight of your fellow man, God says that there's no difference because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And again, I remind you that in God's sight, if you've never been born again through faith in His Son, then all your so-called good works are nothing but filthy rags. Well, friends, up till now, I've been bringing before you the fact that we've all been declared sinners in God's sight. Yes, the Bible declares that all the world is declared guilty before God. In Romans 11 and verse 32, we read that God hath concluded them all in unbelief. Why? That He might have mercy upon all. Sinner friend, I thank God today that He's no respecter of persons. No, He offers His great salvation to all people, regardless of color, regardless of station in life, and regardless of how long they've been in sin. So you who are listening in today, and the devil, the enemy of your soul, has you believing that you'll never be saved, listen, my friend. If the Holy Spirit of God, through God's Word, has revealed to you your lost condition before God, then there's absolutely no reason in the world why you couldn't be saved right now. The Lord Jesus Christ declares in Matthew 11 and 28, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." My, isn't that good news? Yes, that's why salvation is called the gospel. It's good news to all who will admit that they're heavy laden with sin. And furthermore, salvation is only available to those who realize that they're lost, that they're sinners in God's sight. Over in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, we read that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. In Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself says, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Yes, my friend, only sinners can be saved. And friend, listen, unless you realize you're lost, you can't possibly become a child of God. No, that's the prerequisite to candidacy for God's salvation. You must admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Yes, and the only people who can be saved are those who realize within their heart of hearts that they're lost and perishing in their sin and have no claim upon God's salvation whatsoever. Tell me, friend, have you ever realized that you were lost? Have you ever realized what you are and where you are in God's sight? Well, there's one thing sure. A person can never become a child of God until they admit in their heart that they're not deserving of the least of God's mercy. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 5 we read, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." You notice God says that salvation is only for the ungodly. Again, we read in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." Let me repeat, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, friends, for the next couple of minutes, I'd like to have your undivided attention. Please, friends, stop whatever you're doing and just concentrate on what I'm about to say. Friend, you know as well as I do that life is very uncertain. And you know that even though you're in good health today, nevertheless, you could be dead before the day is over. Yes, you could pass out of time into eternity, even before this broadcast comes to a close. Now then, realizing the brevity of life, as well as the certainty of death, tell me, my friend, where would your soul be if you dropped over dead right now? Now be honest with yourself, friend. Remember, this is eternity we're talking about. Friend, do you honestly have the assurance in your heart? Not in your head, but in your heart. Do you have the assurance in your heart that your soul would be in heaven if you were to die right now? If so, then there must have been a definite time in your life's experience when you were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and then you trusted in the blood of Christ to take you into God's heaven. Yes, friend, there must be a definite time when, place where, and manner how, you are born again into the family of God. And if you're a real child of God today, then you know in your heart that you've trusted in the finished work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, perhaps there's someone listening in today, and you only think you're saved, or you only hope that you're saved. Listen, my friend, God is speaking to your soul right now, and He wants you to have real joy and peace, as well as assurance in your heart and soul that you are saved. Yes, He wants you to know, my friend, not just hope so. Some people, you know, they think they can't be sure of salvation until they die. That's not according to the Bible, the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, here's what we read. "These things I write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know," not hope so or think so, "but that ye may know that ye have," present tense, "eternal life." Friend, do you have eternal life today? If not, it can be yours. Yes, it can be yours today. But my friend, please don't put it off. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." I think again of what we're told over there in Job chapter 22 and verse 21. "Acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace." Please, friend, if the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you today, don't put it off. No, my friend, now truly is the day of salvation. And I think of that ominous warning given by God in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Listen to this. This is Proverbs 29 and verse 1. "He that being often reproved or warned and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So that's it, friend. Right now, whether you realize it or not, you're making a decision that will determine your soul's eternal destiny. And remember this, destiny is determined by decision. Back there in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19, here's what we read. Here's what God says. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So friend, right now, while God is speaking to your heart and soul, admit that you're a lost and guilty sinner in God's sight, and then in simple faith, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence again at the close of another radio gospel message. And Lord, we thank thee for the privilege we've had of bringing before the unsaved their need of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Lord, we believe there's someone out in Radio Land today, and even now, they're concerned about their soul. Thy Holy Spirit, through thy word, has been bringing conviction to them. And we trust, our God, that they might be converted before it's eternally too late. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word by saving precious souls. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of him who sits at thy right hand, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you have any questions relative to God's way of salvation, if there's something about God's salvation that you don't understand or have question about, you feel free to write to me, and I'll be glad to answer you, giving you chapter and verse for your answer. Friend, I can't save your soul, but I can point you to the one who can, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you'd like to have any basic and fundamental gospel literature, I'd be glad to send it to you absolutely free and postpaid. I've got a lot of good gospel tracts I'd love to send to anyone listening in, if you can prayerfully use them. So if you want these tracts and other gospel literature, you simply write to me, The Voice of the Gospel, and that's Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. That address again is The Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now onto our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.